AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Would those be prairie chickens?
They might be.
Perhaps.
Lesser prairie chickens.
Lesser prairie chickens.
The,
do they roost?
Not the
meat. They're a ground-based bird, aren't they?
Yeah, but I bet if they could find a spot to roost, they would.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. They're tasty, by the way.
Are they?
Oh, sure. Sure, very much. All right. Let's go ahead. And, hey, Davis, stand by and jump in when you want. We've got Phil Flynn, senior energy analyst at the Price Futures Group. He joins us now. Phil, welcome back. It's good to talk with you.
It's great to be back, buddy. I'm telling you, I haven't had cooked roosters, but I'm willing to try it. I'm willing to try it.
Good deal. Good deal. Hey, let's start with this crude oil market. Buck is sharply higher, almost $2 higher right now. What's going on in that market today?
You know, I think we're getting a little bit of a reality check, right? The last couple of weeks, everybody was, you know, concerned about, you know, a looming recession in the United States, mm-hmm. you know, this false perception that China's reopening would have to stop because of rising COVID cases. And I think that the market's starting to realize that once we start getting refineries out of maintenance, and we don't have a lot of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve coming out every day, that we have a very tight oil market. And I think the market's starting to finally wake up to that fact.
Okay. Lots to hit on right there. Let's start with China.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the U.S. came back, our recovery surge was pretty spectacular. We saw some incredible inflation as a result of it. Gas prices shot to the upside. Can China anticipate something similar as it reopens?
I think they absolutely can. In fact, what you saw in the United States was a lot of pent-up demand.
Yeah.
And the pent-up demand in China is incredible. Not only did you have people locked in their houses for over a year or almost 2 years, you know, so you're going to have that type of demand, but you're going to have these factories starting to ramp up quite a bit. You know, we've heard a lot about the supply chain. China being shut down was a big part of that. So that reopening. Now, which is crazy here, because if you think about that, you know, on one hand, you're saying, oh my gosh, inflationary oil prices back up. Well, that's true, but at the same time, if China starts dumping a lot of their cheap goods back onto the market, you know, it may offset some of those inflationary pressures at the same time.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. But it seems like it's a setup for a lack of inflationary pressures because of the increase in supply on some key items. But at the same time, you could have $100 oil.
I think you're going to have $100 a barrel oil, and that's going to be a problem for the Federal Reserve. You know, in fact, today's rally, I think, is going to, you know, we're going to decide if oil is finally put in a bottom based on what Jerome Powell says here in about an hour, right?
Yeah.
Because the biggest hurdle to rising oil prices has been the Federal Reserve, you know, talking a tough game against inflation, talking about, you know, doing whatever it takes, putting us into a recession. And if you look at the recent drop off in oil, it was the exact opposite of where interest rates were going in the dollar. If he comes off even the least bit dovish in his comments today, I think you'll see oil back at $80 before the end of the week.
Wow. Okay. What this story out of Europe that they've announced a ban on Russian diesel fuel and other refined oil products.
Right.
They're trying to ramp up exports to other areas of the world. What does this mean? I mean, isn't that just going to put more pressure on U.S. diesel supplies as we ship more and more to Europe?
It is. And this is the thing. I'm worried about the country in Europe. I'm worried about Europe currently right now trying to declare mission accomplished. I think it's too early, right? Ooh. And I think one of the things that we've seen here is a little bit of a over-optimism that Europe has solved the problem. But let's face it, the only reason they were able to avoid a disaster in Europe is because the winter in Europe was non-existent for many months. Yeah. And so they were able to rebuild their supplies of natural gas, you know, their supplies of diesel. And, you know, I think that there is this growing sense that everything's fixed, and it isn't. And the same thing with this, these, you know, price caps. Everybody's saying, look at Russia's oil and gas revenue. It's really far down. But the reality is that if you look at that, it's partly because, not because of the sanctions working. It's because there hasn't been as much demand because of the warm weather. You know, they want to sell a lot to China.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Russia's budget shortfall. What can Russia do using its oil or its energy supplies to increase its revenue at this point with some of those sanctions that are in place?
You know, I think they just have to be patient because they're selling as much oil as they were before the war began. And at one point they were selling more, right? Okay. Now, are they having to discount it to places like China and India right now? But, you know, I'm afraid that, you know, we really haven't challenged the upper end of the price bands. And I think when that happens, I think you're going to see some shortages. You know, right now, because there's a little bit of an oversupply because of the warm weather, you know, it's basically a buyer's market. That could very quickly change to a seller's market. And that's when Russia is going to get the power back, right? And I still think that they will use oil as a weapon if they think it will further their cause.
Okay.
Phil, can we change gears just a little bit? I want to go back to the distillate stocks here in the U.S. EIA, I don't know, maybe I'm making too much of this, but national supplies have been running below the bottom end of the five-year average range now for going on a year and a half, if I'm looking at this chart correctly. What is the deal? Did we forget how to make distillates? Where is it all going, dude?
We did forget. We forgot how. They lost the menu somewhere, or the direction. But no, it sure seems like that. And part of it is because, you know, the green energy movement. We don't like diesel. That's dirty fuel. Even though we went through this huge transition to go to ultra low sulfur diesel, we've closed down refineries, right? And we've also discouraged, you know, the production of heavier types of oil, like that in Canada, like that in, you know, Venezuela and other places, and even Russia, where we took that heavy oil and created a lot of diesel for it. We took diesel for granted, right? I don't think anybody's taking it for granted right now. Supplies mm-hmm. in the U.S., as you pointed out, I think are, what, 17% below the five-year average?
Yep.
They were 20%. I think the diesel story is going to be one that could come back to bite the global economy at some point. Because right now, we really have to thank Mother Nature, you know, for the warm winter, because if we didn't have a warm winter, I think these prices would be substantially higher. I think we'd be talking shortages. That didn't happen. Somebody's smiling at us right now, but I don't think the problem's gone away, because if we do get some type of disruption, you can see those diesel prices skyrocket, and that mm-hmm. impacts everything for the consumer because everything moves with diesel.
Well, and we reported BP is reducing their reduction targets by 2030 quite a bit, actually. Do you foresee maybe that's a trend that changes and maybe we get some of this diesel production back online?
you know, beyond petroleum. I thought we were moving beyond petroleum, BP, right. I mean, and they're moving back. And I think they got a reality check. It's something that I warned, you know, years ago with BP. It's like, you know, and what they found is like, we've spent a whole lot of money on these alternative energy sources. Not only are we not making money on them, you know, they're not really doing the job filling the void for oil and gas. Acknowledging that we're heading towards a potential shortage, you know, of oil and gas in the future, and they have to change course. And if they don't, you know, we're going to be undersupplied.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Very interesting. Some of the dynamics that are happening. What about supplies out of the Middle East, Phil?
You know, I mean, right now, OPEC has not been able to hit their quota yet. Is that on purpose? Or is it because they can't? And I think in many countries, they can't hit their quota, you know, underinvestment, you know, political issues. Obviously, Saudi Arabia probably has the potential to raise production, but even they're warning that their spare production capacity is rather limited. And we're getting stark warnings from the Middle East right now that, you know, guys, we're going to need fossil fuels and we're not going to be able to bail the world out. We only have so much spare production capacity. And if you look at spare production capacity based on the fact that global demand this year, 2023, is expected to hit an all-time high, we're probably at the lowest level ever, you know, and it's so there's no room for error in the system. You know, right now we're skating by, everything's hunky-dory, but you know, you get a major disruption, you lose a country or get a supply cut off, you know, we're talking about oil back to $150 a barrel, not just $100 in that case.
Yeah, and Phil, unfortunately, the world that we live in, the risk of a supply disruption again is probably higher than not having some sort of a disruption. So
absolutely.
Yeah, something to be aware of. Phil, I got to tell you, your daily comments are fantastic, man. They keep me
Thank
up
you.
Speed. I really appreciate that. Just you guys Google Phil Flynn, Price Futures Group. It'll take you to his daily comments. They're really good. Thanks, buddy.